Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
And so finally, this little maiden told him, I'm going to shorten the story, I already told it. But the little maiden told him, said, if you were in Israel, Samaria, there's a man there that knows God. He would call on him and he would tell you what to do where you could get healed of leprosy. Leprosy was incurable. Remember this, nothing is incurable without God, with God. Nothing is unfixable with God. God can fix anything. I've had some things in my life where I just didn't see any way. It's the reason why Jesus said, I'm the way. You don't see the way, Jesus is the way. So number one, step one, admit regardless of who and what, we are bankrupt of self-rescue. That's the only problem. When you listen to Oprah and you listen to Dr. Phil, so much of what they say is good. Not all of it, but a lot of times it's really good. It's self-help. But the only problem is when you your only resource is self-help, you can only do so much. Like, it's good. I listened to this military officer give this great speech online. It was great. And he was preaching to hundreds of military people. And he was so successful. And he said, the first thing you do to be successful is get up every morning and make your bed. You know, when I was a kid, I got up and I made my bed because my mother made me, but I wasn't very successful. But that's a good self-help, but just that one thing alone won't change your life. And so Oprah can give you some good advice, but it won't fix your entire life. It'll just help you in certain areas. Phil will help you in certain areas. The first thing you've got to realize is you can't fix yourself. You've got to realize that regardless of who and what you've accomplished, you're bankrupt of self-rescue. Naaman was so successful. He had won wars. He had changed the future of Syria. But when they said, you've got leprosy, he recognized that he could not help himself. Number two, accept your messenger regardless of their humble station in life. You know, some people will only listen to somebody if they've got a PhD. And they don't realize that God will use sometime the most humble messenger. I told you last week about John Jimenez. And that's the way you pronounce his name, Jimenez. But he's in heaven now, but Ann's still there. But they built the Great Rock Church. It was the first big charismatic church in America. And we got to know them, and their church was just awesome. They seat with 3,000 when nobody had that kind of a crowd. But John dropped out of school. I think he was like a freshman in high school when he dropped out. He was into drugs and all of that. And God raised him up to build that great church. But when you go there, it would be doctors and lawyers and people with PhDs. And there John was with an eighth grade education. But he was changing their life because he was their messenger from Jesus Christ. And so realize it's the message and not the messenger. It's the message and not the messenger. You know, if you're going to wait for somebody that fits all of your qualifications just perfect, you might be waiting a long time. But I've had some very imperfect people really help me in my life. And so realize and accept your messenger is step two. And the Lord wants you to just continue to grow in faith. Naaman had no faith. And this is a progression. Step three, the acquiring of faith demands submission and humility. That was what Naaman was doing. It's real difficult to be as successful as Naaman was and be humble. And he had to humble himself and submit to receive the faith that would bring healing to his body. What is humility? Humility is realizing, just like I said, you can't do it for yourself. That we are dependent on the Lord. Friend, anything I have, anything I've done, anything I will do, it's only through Jesus Christ. in my own self, I can do nothing. Paul said, think not more highly of yourself than you should. Number four, exact obedience, no substitution. Remember, the prophet said, go down to Jordan River and dunk seven times. And that's what made Naaman so mad. He was still dealing with that pride because Jordan River was a polluted river. He said, are there not better rivers here in Syria, Abana and Pharpar? I could go to those. Those are clearer. You know, that's where people make a mistake. They don't think that obedience is required. But God's book is full of promises, but every one of them has obedience requirements. Every one of them, I promise you. And remember, partial obedience is disobedience. And so he struggled with that because of his pride. But if you're going to receive faith and you're going to see miracles in your life, and you say, well, Pastor, I want to get that behind me. You'll never get that behind you. I've been saved since I was 10 years of age, and I'm still dealing with it every day. I got to be obedient to the Lord. I got to be obedient to the Lord. It's hard to be obedient. I've told you this story, I know, a couple of times. It's been a long time. I went out to the Dream Center in L.A. It's the most amazing place, what they do. They go out on the streets and bring prostitutes in, all drug addicts, and get them. It's just amazing. And that's Matthew Barnett, Tommy Barnett's son. And so I've known Tommy Barnett for 40-some years at least. I met him at PTL, and so I got to know Tommy really well. And so they were having a conference out there. And so I went out there, and I didn't tell Tommy I was in the crowd. That building will seat about, it's got three balconies. It'll seat about 3,000, but because of the balconies, it's hard to see who's there. So I didn't even tell Tommy I was there. I've preached in that building several times for Tommy and Matthew. But I didn't tell him I was there. And Tommy was taking up an offering for that ministry. And the people that come to church, they don't have hardly any money. They're just street people. That's who they're getting saved. And so they have to get money from the outside to keep the ministry going. Like they go to the Dodgers, the baseball team, and they get a lot of money from them. And they have to raise money all the time. So he was raising money. And I don't remember how he was doing it, but he had a bunch of cheap wristwatches laid out all over the platform. And if you gave whatever, you got one of those wristwatches. I don't remember. But I was sitting on the very back seat. I'm just talking about obedience. On the very back seat. I just sat there minding my own business, you know, thinking this is good, this is great. It's always upsetting when you're just doing so good and then the Lord interrupts it. And all of a sudden, I heard the Lord just as clear in my spirit say, give $30,000. $30,000 is a lot of money. It's a lot of money. I said, what? $30,000. But have you ever heard about fleecing the Lord? That's not really the dispensation we live in. But when we want to avoid obedience, we usually fleece the Lord. So I fleeced the Lord. I said, Lord, if he would just happen to mention San Antonio, I'd give $30,000. And I mean, I no more said that. And Tommy don't know I'm there. There's a big crowd there. And he just up there talking. And he said, I don't care if you're from San Antonio. I said, oh, Lord. Folks, you look at me. If I'm your pastor, you look at me and say, shame on you. I didn't give $30,000. It's too much money, folks. I just didn't do it. I came home, and I got right here in this auditorium, and I said, Lord, I'm sorry I missed that opportunity to give $30,000. The Lord said, I'll make you another opportunity. I wasn't looking for opportunities. Tommy Barnett, they pastor two major ministries. He preaches around the world. The chance if you could call and get him on the phone is about zero. You'd have to go through a couple secretaries and whatever. And so I prayed and went back to my office, and the Lord said, call Tommy Barnett on the phone. I said, Lord, I wouldn't get him. So I said, Lord, I'll tell you what. I said, I'm going to call right now. I had Tommy's number. I said, I'm going to call his office right now. And I said, if I can get him on the phone, I'm going to have him to come. This is like on a Monday or Tuesday. I'm going to have him to come preach this Wednesday night, and I'll give him $30,000 because I knew I couldn't get him on the phone. So I called, his secretary answered. I said, this is Steve Fender in San Antonio. I said, Tommy Barnett, no, Tommy, brother, Pastor Tommy, he's not there, is he? She said, yes, he is. He's right here in the next office. I said, he's awful busy. She said, no, I don't think he is. Hey, Brother Steve, Brother Tommy. I never regretted hearing from somebody so bad in all my life. I said, Tommy, I said, we have a Wednesday night service. And I said, I know your schedule is so busy and you're probably booked up for months and years. I don't guess there's any way you can come preach for us Wednesday night. He said, you mean like day after tomorrow or tomorrow, whatever it was? I said, yeah, that's it. He said, let me look. You know, Brother Steve, I'm not doing anything. He said, I'll just catch Southwest flight and be out there with you. So he came and preached for us on a Wednesday night. So we sat back in the office, and I just walked over, and I said, here, Tommy. He looked at that, and he just started crying. He just broke down and cried. He said, Brother Steve, nobody's ever given me $30,000 for preaching a sermon in my life. And he said, the ministry needs it so bad. And I told him my story. And he said, all right, I like that story. He said, did you learn obedience? I said, I'm trying. Obedience is the hardest thing because it always goes against our flesh. It always goes against our flesh. But you know what? I gave him that $30,000. We haven't missed it. We're still doing good. The Lord has blessed us. We weren't diminished. We were increased. Praise God. So Naaman is struggling with the same thing. He said, go down and dip yourself in that river. No, I don't want to do that. I want to do something else. Folks, I can tell you what. Your preacher can't tell you what you need to do. Your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will communicate to you directly more often than he will through your preacher and your pastor. It's particularly about money. I've never in my life told somebody to give any amount, and particularly a certain amount. And I'm just, you know, if I'm wrong on this, forgive me, and Lord, you forgive me. But these TV preachers and evangelists that come and say, the Lord told me to tell you to give $1,000, I just don't believe in that. I just do not believe in that, folks. I believe the Lord speaks to you. It's you. If it has to go through a second person, it's diluted. The Lord tells you what to do. And so here he is. He said, I don't want to do this. But what he's doing is he's growing his faith. He's growing his faith. You have to be totally obedient. There is no substitution for obedience. He said, well, Lord, I won't do this, but I'll do that. It's not good enough. He doesn't give you an option. God does not give you. I used to love those questions in when I was taking tests where they had four options because there's a 25% chance you're going to get it. It's always got four options. My favorite test in school was when they had options, you know, multiple choice. R. I loved it in literature where they wanted you to read a poem or read something and you could say what it meant because I could just write out anything and then it's my opinion against theirs. I love those kind of tests. But when it was absolute, I didn't do so well when you had to have an absolute answer. God deals in absolutes. And so God says, you're going to have to be absolutely obedient. Step 5, overcome the rage of rejection. Naaman got so mad. Did you know that when the Lord speaks to you in your flesh, you get mad? I was preaching in Bakersfield, California, and there was a young man there, big, tall, white guy, red-headed, about 6'6". He got so mad while I was preaching, he ran out of the church, and they had a pretty high chain-link fence around that park. He jumped that chain-link fence. He was so mad. He ran along, and he got in a car, and he drove all the way to Florida. This was his testimony. And I was telling him he needed to get saved and get filled with the Holy Spirit. He was so mad. He drove all the way to Florida without sleeping. He said, I checked in the motel, and I sat down on beside my bed. He told me this later. And he said, when I sat down on the bed, said the Lord said, and I'm still here. He said, I got back in that car, and I drove back to Bakersfield. He said, I want to get saved, Pastor, right now. Friend, you can get so mad when the Lord tells you to do something. But if you're going to become a person of faith, so why do I want to become a person of faith? Oh, friend, it opens up all the resources of heaven. See, my resources are not the government. It's not the economy of this. My resources are heaven. I live under an open heaven. He said, I'll cause men. He didn't say I'll cause saints, brothers and sisters, friends, mother-in-laws, brother-in-laws, daddy, mama. He said, I'll cause men to give unto your bosom. Some of the greatest miracles I've ever had have been from unbelievers. And I told you my favorite phrase when I'm doing business is, I don't know why I'm doing this, but I'm going to do this. When they say that, I know the Lord is causing men to give into my bosom. And that's what he said he would do. And so you've got to get to the place where you are over your rage. You're not mad because God instructs you what to do. Number six, embrace the simplicity. Embrace the simplicity. God will always operate in the simplest of terms. So simple. When God tells me to do things, it's just so simple. It almost insults my intelligence because you can't believe how smart I am. And God would just be the simplest little things. God would say, do that. Well, that didn't make any sense. Friend, God will make it just that simple. You've got to embrace the simplicity. Step seven, put works to your faith. Put works to your faith. Let me say this. There is no faith without works. People talk about works all the time. But what did the writer say? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead. God always has you to do something. Remember when Jesus had worked those miracles, there's always something to do. Go down to the pool of Siloam and wash your eyes. Always something to do. I was preaching in Aurora, Illinois. A man came to me and he said, Pastor, I want the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And he said, this is a Spirit-filled church. He said, my wife's got the Holy Spirit. My children got the Holy Spirit. He said, all my friends in the church. But he said, I can't receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I said, you can't? He said, no. He said, I've tried. I've gone to the altar lots of times. And I said, sir, you know the reason you can't receive the Holy Spirit? You haven't been obedient. He said, I haven't. He said, what should I do? I said, you need to run down that aisle and slap that back door right back there with an open palm and slap that door. He ran back there and he slapped that door. He started back down the aisle. God baptized him in the Holy Spirit right there. Other people started going back and slapping the door, and nothing happened to them. Not one thing. It was not a matter of slapping the door. It was just a matter of his will saying, whatever it takes, I will be obedient to the Lord. I will be obedient to the Lord. The Lord's always got something that you have that triggers your faith. It's not always giving money. Sometimes it's helping somebody. Sometimes doing somebody a favor, standing in for somebody. I've had people tell me, said, Pastor, I need so-and-so, and I can't seem to give it. I've told them one of the best ways I know, if you need something, try to make that happen for somebody else. If you're sick, go pray for somebody else that's sick. If you want the gift of the Holy Spirit, go pray for somebody else to get the gift of the Holy Spirit. If you make it happen for somebody else, God will make it happen for you. I've done it time and time again in my life. When I want something so bad and I can't seem to get a hold of, I'll go make it happen for somebody else. I'll go make it happen for somebody else. There's no telling how much we have given away as a church. We've given one church over $250,000 worth of television equipment. I watch them all the time on Facebook. Every time I see them, say, they wouldn't be doing that if it wasn't for a Living Way Church. But we make things happen for other people. I watched another church in Illinois, and they sent me a video the other day, said, we want you to see. And every chair they got in that building was because we bought them and gave them to them right here from San Antonio, and they're in Illinois. We make things happen for other people, and that's an act of faith, and God wants you to do that. And so if you're going to have faith, you must put works with your faith. Step 8, true faith will alter our attitude. I don't know how whether I've got enough time to get in this or not. True faith will alter our attitude. They that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. You know, Naaman had to deal with that because as you get older, you have a lot of experience to draw on. And you start kind of taking pride in that, this is not my first rodeo. I've been here. I know how to do this. Naaman was that way. He had been through a lot of things. He knew how to get things done. As you get older, sometimes you kind of get hard in your spirit. You kind of get cynical. And I've seen this before. I know this before. You know what Jesus said? Jesus said, except you become as a little child, you cannot see the kingdom of God. You know, Naaman had to break that all down and go from a ruling officer that was in control of all the resources militarily of that country, of Syria. He had to break that all down. He had to become like a little child. He had to humble himself. And the Bible said he went down and he dipped himself 7 times in that Jordan River. And when he came up that 7th time, what did the Bible say? It said his flesh, which would be leprosy eaten, was like a little child. That's emblematic of what God wants us. He wants us to get rid of that hard, cynical spirit. He wants us to become like a little child, where we can just believe God for anything and have that sweet, expectant spirit. You know, when Jesus was coming back in town, the Bible said the children began to worship him, and all the religious people came to Jesus and said, make those kids shut up. Jesus said, no, I'm not going to make them shut up. You're going to have to become like them. They're not going to become like you. It's the simplicity of the gospel. The simplicity of the gospel. And so when he got that flesh, it was like a baby's flesh, like a child's flesh. That was emblematic of what was happening in his heart. He was becoming childlike. And when you become childlike, it does 2 great things. It gives you great faith, and children love to worship. When you become a person of faith, it will do away with that old hard, haughty, cynical, critical spirit, and you'll become like a little child. And you'll be led of the Lord, and you'll worship the Lord. Here was this great man that did not want to go to the Jordan River. Why? Because he said it was too dirty. And after he got healed, you know what he asked for? Dirt. He said, I want 2 mules laden with dirt from here, because I know there's only the God of Israel. That's the only true God. And he said, I'm going to take that home. And what I'm going to do with that, I'm going to spread it out. And every morning I'm going to get out, I'm going to stand on that dirt from Israel, and I'm going to worship the Lord. I'm going to worship the Lord. He became a worshiper. Friend, when you become a person of faith, you will become a worshiper. It takes tremendous faith to be a worshiper. Why? Because you've got to believe that God sees you. You've got to believe that God hears you. You've got to believe that a hallelujah makes the difference. You got to believe that uplifted hands makes a difference, that praising the Lord makes a difference. That's the great step of faith, becoming like a child and saying, it's so simple, I know it is, but I'm going to worship the Lord. Folks, I've owed millions of dollars that I didn't have, but I would just get in a room by myself, nobody there, and just begin to praise the Lord and weep and clap my hands, jump up and down and just look like a fool for Christ's sake. But praise God, the Lord would turn it around. The Lord would open the door. Friend, if you get your tremendous faith in your life, you'll become a person of worship. You'll not only worship here in the church, you'll worship in your car. You'll worship at home. You'll see things begin to transpire in your life. I preached for a guy in a place called Moberly, Missouri. He looked just like Abraham Lincoln. Just the strangest thing, preaching for Abraham Lincoln. This was when I was in Bible college. And he was such a man of prayer and faith and worship. Big old tall guy. And I was working, he had a farm. I was working with him on his farm. and he cut his hand with a chainsaw. I mean, bad. I mean, it just spouting blood. I was about 17, I guess. And I saw this man. All of a sudden, that blood was spurting out. And he just said, "Oh, praise Jesus." And he began to worship the Lord. And I watched that blood that was spurting up just go down and stop. And after a while, I looked, and his hand had totally sealed over. And I never will forget that guy. It's been 50-some years ago, and I think about him regularly. When I'm needing something, I always think about that man in Moberly, Missouri, and how he was just a praiser, and he brought a miracle in his life. Folks, when you become a person of faith, you're going to become like a little child. You're going to be easy to direct in the things of the Lord. You're going to follow the Lord. Just so thankful and grateful. There's nothing like children, and God wants us to be like a little child and just follow Him and have faith and have confidence. No matter what's happening in the world, the Lord's going to take us in His arms. No matter what happens, the Lord is going to make a way for us. No matter what happens, the Lord is going to provide for us. The Lord's going to make a way where there is no way. I'm always going to have the food I need, the shelter I need, the clothing I need, the money I need, if I'll just be obedient to the Lord and follow Him. Praise God. I love this story of Naaman, because he went from the height of arrogance and not believing in the power of God to becoming the greatest man of faith and believing that God could do anything, and he became a true worshiper. Friend, everything I'm teaching you, I am 74 years of age. I got saved at 10, filled with the Holy Spirit when I was 13, and I'm still struggling with every one of these things. I mean, the devil will just talk to me like you do. I'll put up my hands, just being by myself. The devil said, "Put your hands down. That don't do no good." And I got to push through. It don't do no good. Devil, you're a liar. I am a man of faith in God. I believe He is, and He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. I have to come against my flesh. I don't know who your enemy is, but my enemy is not my wife. My enemy is not anybody in this church. My enemy is not somebody that's done something against me. My enemy is not even the devil. Christ defeated him at the cross. My enemy is my flesh. I have to be like Naaman every day of my life and say, "Flesh, you are going to come under submission. And when I pray, it's going to have results. God is going to hear and God is going to answer. And when I praise, the Lord is going to habit that praise. He's going to send angels." Friend, more than anything in this world, I want to be a man, a person of great faith. But in order to do that, I have to war against my flesh all the time. And let me tell you what, folks, this is true. The more education you get, the harder it is to war against your flesh. The truth is, you go up into the Appalachian part of this country where people have almost no education. Those hills are full of people that are filled with the Holy Spirit and they worship God. The more education you get, the more difficult it is to become childlike. The more money you get, the more difficult it is to be childlike. The more success you have, the more difficult it is to become child. But friend, when you get the revelation of who God is and what He did when He sent Christ to the cross, you use that to defeat your flesh every day. Say, "It might not mean anything to my educated brain. It might not mean anything to my bank account. It might not mean anything to the fact that I own a business or a company. But I am going to be a person of faith. And I'm going to bring my flesh under subjection. I'm going down to my Jordan River. And I'm going to dip myself 7 times. Because I promise you, folks, no matter how successful you are, no matter how much money you get, no matter how much of these things you achieve, there's going to be something that you can't handle. You remember when Red McCombs, Red became a friend of mine He died a few years ago now, but he stood right here in this pulpit, and I was in his office a lot, and he was in my office. I went to dinner with him a lot. Red was worth $3.5 billion, the second richest man in San Antonio, next to the Butts Corporation. He was next. But he told about how he was an alcoholic, and he couldn't help himself. He gave $100 million in one gift to the University of Texas. You go up there just off of the football field. They got a statue to Red McCombs. That's how much he gave, $100 million in one gift. But when he went to Houston, Texas, he was dying of alcoholism. And he got in that room and he said, God spoke to me and said, Red, you're going to die if you don't give your life to me. And he said, in that hospital room, I gave my life to God. And he said, from that, he's 40-some years of age, and when he stood here, he was 80-some years of age. And he said, from that moment forward, I never took another drop of alcohol. God saved me, and God delivered me. The point is, he was a billionaire, but he could not solve the crisis of alcoholism. And friend, I don't care who you are, there's going to be a place, there's going to be a point, there's going to be a thing that you just can't deal with. Your marriage is going to come undone. Your child is going to get sick. You're going to lose your job. You're going to lose. Something's going to happen someplace in your life. Friend, I have learned things happen regularly in my life I can't control. But I've found out there's one that can, praise God. I'm a living example of Naaman. I don't care how dirty the water is. I'm going down to Jordan and dip myself 7 times. I don't care what God tells me to do. I don't want to write $30,000, but I promise you, I will before God gets through with me. I will come under his thumb. I will bring myself to obedience to the Lord. And every time the Lord comes through, and I hope I'm getting better. I hope it's becoming easier. I'm not sure it is, but I hope it's becoming easier knowing if I obey the Lord, it's not going to hurt me. You see, that's the reason why love casteth out fear. You don't have to be afraid of God. God's not going to take everything you've got. I've heard that all my life. God will take everything. That's a lie. God's not going to take everything you got. I've been disobedient to the Lord. He didn't take my car. He didn't take my wife. He didn't take my kids. He just slapped me. That's all he did. He just slapped me with the word of God. He said, obey, stupid. Obey. And finally I said, okay. And then when I obeyed, it just opened up and I said, wow, why didn't I do this 60 days ago? The last 2 months of my life would have been a whole lot better. And the Lord is saying that to somebody in this building. If you will just obey the Lord, the Lord's going to salvage your marriage. If you'll just obey the Lord's going to heal your body. If you'll just obey the Lord's going to open the door. The Lord's going to give you the job. The Lord's going to solve the problem. The Lord is going to fix it. The Lord is going to bring that rebellious daughter back home. God's going to fix it. Be obedient to the Lord. Be obedient to the Lord. Be obedient to the Lord. Become childlike. Become a worshiper and see what the Lord will do. Friend, you can trust God. He's a good God all the time. He doesn't deal in car wrecks. He deals in word and spirit. Word and spirit, word and spirit. God's never given me cancer. God's never given me cancer or car wrecks. God's always dealt me with his word. He shows me his word. He takes his spirit and convicts me. And finally, my old stubborn Steve self says, I give up. And when I do, the blessings start flooding in my life. Would you stand on your feet and lift your hands and worship God right now in the name of Jesus Christ? If you're struggling with something in your life, here's what to do. Say, Lord, what do you want me to do? And the Lord will tell you. And you'll be obedient to the Lord. And folks, it won't be something you can do. You've got $50 in your checking account. God will not tell you to give $1 million. I promise you that. I promise that won't happen. I was in California as a kid, just a kid. Driving a new Ford, I had no money. I think it was $7 I had. It's whatever I had, just a little money. And I was in a little storefront church. It was actually a double car garage. And the Lord said, give all you got. Folks, that was all I had. But it was just a little bit. I think it was 7, just a little bit. And I gave it all. And I felt so bad for just a moment because, Kenneth, I was broke at that point in time. I'm a kid out there by myself. I don't know nobody. We didn't have credit cards. There were no credit cards. You either had money in your pocket or you didn't have it. There wasn't no credit cards to wait 30 days to pay. And I gave that money, the last money I had, to that little church in that two-car garage. And I got in my car and drove to Bakersfield, California. I drove up in front of a man's house that I'd talked to months before in St. Louis. He said, if you're ever in California, come by and see me in Bakersfield. And I drove up to his house, and they had what they used to call picture windows. He had a big glass window in his house, and he was sitting in front of that window. When I drove up, he got up and walked to the door. I mean, I didn't call him, tell him I was coming. I walked up to that door, knocked, started knocking on the door. He said, come on in, Fender. He said, I've been waiting on you all night. I wish you'd have got here earlier. I'm tired. He was a grouchy old guy. I loved it. Yeah, he was so grouchy. Isaac Hilliard Terry. He said, come on in here. He said, the Lord told me you was coming. I had no place to preach. I was just getting started. I was a teenager. He said, we're going to start a revival here Sunday. He said, you're going to preach it. I said, oh, that's great. He had a big church in Bakersfield. He had the biggest Pentecostal church in California. He said, you're going to start Sunday. That was amazing for a 70-year-old kid. And he said, but the Lord said you're broke. He said, just so you won't worry about it, not here. He said, the Lord said, here, take this. And the reason why I think it was $7 I gave, because what he put in my hand was seven $100 bills. I'd never had seven $100 bills in my life. I'd never seen 700.